Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 314. Welcome back. Well, next week, you're going to get an episode from the always talented, worshipful brother, Adam Thayer. And he will be on the show in lieu of myself. I'll be attending my Grand Lodge sessions for the 2017 year. We're bringing in a new Grand Master. We've got some awesome new committees and really excited about sharing some really good fellowship with everybody and having a good time. So while I'm busy at Grand Lodge, Brother Adam Thayer will be bringing you some top-notch Masonic education, and I know you'll all enjoy it. So getting right into this week, I would like to read the first piece, and this one is interesting. Let's go ahead and get right into this week's education. Why in the world would anyone ever want to become a Freemason? By guest contributor Stephen A. Macbeth. 47 years ago. Wait a minute. Stop the plagiarism. Let's all just take a minute to rewind and start over. Abe, take 10, please. The year is now 2012. Thinking back, though, I can't pinpoint the exact date with any surety. I would estimate that my knowledge of the Freemasons' existence came to me sometime between the years of 2000 and 2003. What I am able to attest to is that it was indeed a Freemason, a friend of mine, and my fire chief at the time, Brother N. Greenwell, who introduced me to the fraternity by showing me his Masonic ring, which was passed down to him from his grandfather. Thinking about it now, I am certain that Brother Greenwell did not produce his ring or mention Freemasonry to me until he knew me well enough and trusted in my character enough to do so. Looking back, I feel honored he held me in high enough esteem to introduce me to his cherished grandfather's ring and the fraternity as a whole. Albeit, he really did nothing more than ask me if I was familiar with Freemasonry. Though this paper is about me, I would be ignorant to dismiss the fact that the journey on which I would embark did not start with me. It started with Brother N. Greenwell, whose true Masonic light was steady enough and bright enough, however slowly, to guide me into port. I had to find out more about this Freemasonry thing. What was it all about? Why did it exist? What were the benefits? So it really began when I typed Freemasonry into the internet search engine, and there it was, the first link of the rest of my life. It was a website I am sure is no longer in existence today, nonetheless, a website that went on to describe the rudimentary history and goals of the society, which I would come to find out in the latter days was more secret than not. The history I will leave for the reader to research on his or her own, or not. Its main aim, on the other hand, though I hear very little of today, I would feel obliged to share and attempt to keep alive, as it has greatly applied to my Masonic journey. The fundamental Masonic aim, from what I discovered that day, was that of supporting, promoting, and providing a higher education, and, if I am not mistaken, fund and aid in constructing the very institutions in which this higher education would be taking place. That was about it. About all I could expediently and conveniently find on the subject in that day. That half-hour study session on Freemasonry may have been enough for me that day, at least until my good friend and partner at the time decided that he had better warn me about this organization. To paraphrase it, went a little something like this. Be careful with those Freemasons. I've been told they are an evil organization. Now, why would my good friend and business partner say this to me? Precursor could very well be accredited as being the fuel thrown onto the fire, which was all but out. Obviously, there was more to this organization, to this fraternity of Freemasons, than running around the world free of governance and being immune to persecution from any outside influence. Conjointly, there must be more to this higher education thing, really. What could possibly be so evil about erecting the awe-inspiring cathedrals in which the masses would flock to praise and worship a god? What could be so evil about the general desire and consensus to want to better educate those around you while affording them a hand up, if need be? What? Naturally, I had to find out. This rebel, freethinker, and seeker of truth would settle for nothing less. My studies would ensue erratically over the next decade, often going on Masonic benders for months on end. Vast amounts of knowledge and understanding accumulated. Some key points kept me coming back for more. First, Freemasonry, by its very design and nature, is, to my understanding, to first positively affect the initiate, then hopefully the people immediate to him, friends and or family, continuing to work outward from there with the outcome being an altruistic amelioration of yourself. yourself and all of your communal surroundings within one's influence, something that was conveyed to me sincerely and wholeheartedly by Brother N. Greenwell, who, by my witness, did everything in his power without surrender to achieve this. Three words. Lead by example. Second, Freemasonry has no upper or lower levels by which brethren of certain stature or degree meet. It has none of these, but only one level on which all brethren meet, no matter race, religion, or creed. We are all equals. Third, the vast amounts of well-thought-out and articulately written papers, historically, factual, and philosophical, have managed to keep me easily entertained and involved, oftentimes taking me well over an hour to be able to fully translate and understand what the author is conveying to the reader. Fourth, though not having any immediate effect on my character, Masonic literature, also while reading and decoding its indubitable meaning, always instilled in me the desire to want to be a better man. It enticed me to strive to become more worthy of its ranks. Moreover, though unable to attest to it at this very moment, all of its hidden mysteries were in plain sight, just waiting to be plucked by and all who prove themselves worthy by means of hard work, study, courage, and dedication, none of which I care to give away or explain, but trust me, any who lack courage will fall short. As far as I am concerned, anyone who fearlessly or purblindly plows through their way through any Masonic doctrine or teachings has no place in the order. If you're not fearful in some shape, fashion, or form on your path to enlightenment, then you're just not getting it. And for those who make a valiant attempt to understand what Freemasonry is all about, but find themselves at the crossroad which they dare not take another step. To you, my friends, I say congratulations. You are indeed an enlightened being. It takes a wise and considerable man to realize that Freemasonry is or isn't for him. If you have read this article, I can only assume that you are already a free and accepted Mason and are considering becoming a Mason, or you are just curious. To all of you, I say goodwill and good luck. May your journey be fruitful and joyous. The universe unfolded just as it was meant to that day, for if anything had been added or omitted during my search, or by my friend and business partner, I assure you things would not be as they are today, for all of which I am eternally grateful. Stephen A. Macbeth. Now, it's noting again, this was written back in 2012. At that time, Stephen was but a fellow craft, a Canadian Freemason from Prince George Nechako Lodge, number 86. He had 10 years of study on the subject. He is also a truth-seeking theologian and a philosophical writer. I hope you enjoyed that. All right, and before we move on to the last piece of the show, I would like to remind you that you can support this show by making a direct donation. Just head on over to wcypodcast.com, hover over support the show, and you will see five different ways to support the show. You can make a direct donation, which is one time or recurrent. You can pick up our limited edition lapel pins. You can do some shopping at either Onnit Labs or through buybankersbest.com. Or if you have a Thrive account, you are also invited to use our page in order to get your discounts. Now, if you go through Onnit, please use the promo code WCY at checkout and click through our links. If you go through buybankersbest.com, just click through our links and use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout and you'll get 20% off. The WCY and Thrive is already set up. You just go through our links, and that's how you do it. So please assist us in our efforts to bring Masonic education to you week after week. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much to everybody else out there contributing to Masonic education. Now, this next piece is delightful. One of our newest contributors, Worshipful Brother Darren A. Lonners, who is, again, one of our newest Midnight Freemason contributors. I needed a piece, and he had sent one over to illustrious Brother Todd E. Creason, who posted this last Wednesday. And I say I needed a piece, right? Because we had no submissions for that week at that point. And this came in the nick of time, and it was perfect. It's such a great piece. I laughed. It was informative. And I just overall enjoyed it very much. So here we go. The Flat Earth and Other Masonic Secrets. Freemasons have been and will continue to be a target for conspiracy theorists because we are, as they say, a secret society. As a Freemason and an avid follower of conspiracy theories, I guess I fall into the category of hypocrite. For me, reading about and researching conspiracy theories is a way to unwind and to often laugh at the ridiculousness of the human imagination. This being said, there are some conspiracy theories that I somewhat subscribe to. I do believe that there was a conspiracy to kill JFK. I believe that not all of the official story of 9/11 is true, especially surrounding what caused Building 7 of the World Trade Center to come down. and I believe that it's possible that technologically advanced extraterrestrial life could be visiting us. So be forewarned, I am obviously a tinfoil hat-wearing nut. One of the things that we are hiding as Freemasons, apart from the location of Solomon's treasure, the Ark of the Covenant, and numerous other secrets, is the fact that the Earth is flat. This is according to many supporters and believers in the Flat Earth. The reasons that they believe in the Flat Earth are numerous. Many of them are religious fundamentalists and take the Bible verbatim. In the King James Version of the Bible, in Genesis, the creation story says that Earth is covered by a vault, a firmament, and the celestial bodies move inside the vault. They believe that the sun and the moon are smaller bodies roughly the same size, which are near 3,000 miles, the Earth. You can read a pretty good summary of what they subscribe to here at this link. Note to the listener, I will provide this piece and you can click on those links. Back to the piece. If you're on the fence still, please read this. However, I want to deal with why they believe that Freemasons are involved in hiding the Flat Earth. One of the main tenets of Flat Earth belief is that the theory of gravity is a lie. Furthermore, Sir Isaac Newton was a Freemason, and the Freemasonic Royal Society has been pushing this lie since its inception. Although there is no definitive information about Newton being a Freemason, it's obvious that he is. His hand in both of the famous portraits display this because he's apparently giving the Masonic M hand sign. You know the one, right? M equals Mason. Now, in all fairness, Newton was a member of the Royal Society, which was founded by Christopher Wren, who may or may not have been a Freemason. The United Grand Lodge of England website doesn't list him as one, but the Grand Lodge of British Columbia and Yukon in Canada says he was. There have also been many members of the Royal Society who were in fact Freemasons, such as John de Zoglier, who is regarded as the father of the Grand Lodge system. Anyway, gravity is a lie made up by the Freemason Newton to hide the fact that the Earth is flat. You heard it here first. Don't get me started on Einstein, total Freemason, even though there is no record of him being one. I believe this circa late 1990s website lists both he and Newton. P.S. Masonic Lodge 56. Do your homework. See the website. In fact, the whole heliocentric model of the universe is a lie. The flat Earth is the center of the universe. Those who promote heliocentric models are Freemasons. Yes, anytime a square or compass shows up in a painting, it means that person is a Freemason. Just like every time a playing card shows up in a painting, it means that person is a professional poker player. I mean, it's just coincidence that the square and compasses can be used in mathematics. Everyone knows that you all become Freemasons in high school geometry. You used a compass, didn't you? But most importantly, since we hide everything in plain sight, what do you think the G in the square and compass means? Gravity, which we made up. There's no reason that you're not floating right now. We've told you this recently in the motion picture It. You'll float too. A direct reference to the Freemasons via our control of Hollywood. So what keeps us on the ground? Magnetism. Yes, another invisible force which, like gravity, depends upon the mass and attraction between two objects. That's not too far-fetched, is it? By the way, the Freemasons apparently control NASA too. Because we control Hollywood and Hollywood major players are Freemasons, it's easy for us to make the best sci-fi films. I mean, NASA's budget in 2016 was $19.3 billion. We can totally make it seem like we have men in orbit on a space station above the ball of Earth with that kind of budget, right? Never mind that you can take photos of the International Space Station from the ground with the aid of a telescope. We don't have satellites in orbit either. GPS is just based off triangulation from ground-based cell phone towers. Don't let the fact that I can take a dedicated GPS device on a plane flight and have it give me positional readings, airspeed, and elevation at 30,000 feet in the air dissuade you. We've never been to space or the moon. Wake up, sheeple. Seriously, it's all CGI. Just ask the Masonic film directors and producers like Spielberg, Lucas, Roddenberry, Howard, Haskin, Cameron, and Kubrick. Once again, there's no proof that they are Freemasons, but we should never let facts get in the way of a good conspiracy. Yes, without a doubt, there were many Freemasons who were astronauts. Buzz Aldrin, Gordon Cooper, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and John Glenn were Freemasons, just to name a few. Yes, Buzz Aldrin took a Southern jurisdiction flag to the moon, film set, where fellow Freemason Stanley Kubrick directed the whole thing. It's not like there are any laser reflectors on the moon left by Freemasonic lying astronauts that allow precise measurements of the Earth-Moon distance for the last four decades. I mean to say that if we had the ability to measure the distance from the Earth to the moon, then that would totally destroy the whole flat Earth thing, right? Flat earthers believe that the moon is 3,000 miles above the plane of Earth. It's a complete Masonic lie when the distance measured to be at an average of 239,228.3 miles. There is, however, an even more sinister way in which Freemasons hide the flat Earth from the masses. Since we hide everything in plain sight, I present to you how you can really tell that the Earth is flat. Drum roll, please. That's right. Every time a Masonic lodge holds a pancake breakfast, it's reminding you, sheeple, of our intellectual superiority over you. We love our pancakes as much as we love our flat Earth knowledge. The pancake is a perfect representation of the flat Earth. Pancakes are flat. The Earth is flat. Any other questions? I didn't write this article to trifle with your emotions. I would hope that I've not offended anyone that truly believes that the Earth is flat. However, honestly, if that's your belief, good for you. You see, if there is one thing that being a Freemason has taught me, it's to be tolerant towards mankind. It's possible that you worship a different god or have a different favorite sports team, believe that the Earth is flat, or have a different skin color or sexual orientation. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is that you believe in tolerance. I think I see why many of the flat earthers use Freemasonry as a scapegoat. It's because they really don't know anything about us. We are not a secret society. Yes, we take an oath to not reveal certain parts of our ceremonies. However, most lodge buildings are well marked with a square and compasses or other Masonic markings, like a sign that says, "So-and-so lodge meets here on such and such a night. Anyone who meets the qualifications can join." In Illinois, this means that you are 18, have never had a felony, and believe in a supreme being. You just have to ask another member about joining to join. We don't actively recruit members. I know that some of the Grand Lodges have relaxed this, but for the most part, this is still the case. So I'm breaking the golden rule right now. I'm talking to the person who stumbled upon this blog because they think I'm confirming what the dozens of Flat Earth YouTube videos and websites state about Masonry hiding the Flat Earth. I ask you to go to your local lodge and ask to join. What have you got to lose? If you really want to see what our mysteries consist of, if you want to see if we're hiding anything, then come on down. Maybe you'll convert some of us into believing that the Earth is flat. We won't care one way or another once you're a brother. But of course, what do I know? I'm only a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason. They tell you all the good stuff at the 33rd degree. Am I right, Todd Creason? Worshipful brother, Darren A. Lonners. It was a really funny and sarcastic piece. There are about 3 hyperlinks within this article that he references. At those points, I would urge you, after listening to this, to head on over to wcypodcast.com and click on the link. It'll take you right to this article where you can click those articles within it. And with that, I have to thank everybody for listening. I hope that I see many of our Illinois brethren at the Grand Lodge Sessions of Illinois. I'll be taking the train down in the morning on Thursday. I'll be heading off to a dinner event on Thursday night. Friday morning, bright and surly, I'll be walking the halls of the convention center, likely having a huge cup of coffee. So if you see me at Grand Lodge Sessions, stop on by. I'll be the guy with the Instamatic camera taking pictures of things and handing out paperwork and all that sort of thing. You know, doing my official duty to represent the first Northeastern District, one of 72 districts in the state of Illinois, where we have about 54,000 members. But again, if you come up and say hi, I may have a pin for you, and it will be my pleasure to shake your hand and say hello. So that's that. Look forward to next week. We'll have Worshipful Brother Adam Thayer on the program. And until 2 weeks from now, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson, and I'll see you at Grand Lodge.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.